talk to us about Juneteenth, because, and especially you from Texas, that's really where this all originated.
Yes. So I moved to Texas in 2011, and I'd heard of Juneteenth, but it was when I got to Austin that I really started researching it, and I just fell in love. I think Juneteenth is the most important holiday, at least in my life, and I just think the stories of people who found out that they were free on that day are so powerful and so beautiful. So I'm very honored to get to share some stuff about Juneteenth today.
I know in Spotsylvania years ago, it was there would occasionally be programs, but I didn't really understand it until really just a few years ago.
Yes, I think it's been really beautiful, as you know, somebody who was living in Texas, to see Juneteenth spread across the whole country. There were celebrations in Texas when I was there, but it's been so exciting to see these other celebrations pop up all over the country and see people really digging into the history and learning.
So talk about it. What makes it so special?
Yes. So on June 19th, 1865, that's the day that General Gordon Granger came to Galveston, Texas, and he announced that the enslaved people in Texas were free. So that was over 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation had been issued. So that's really the last place where enslaved people were officially free in the United States. And so every year on June 19th, people in Texas started celebrating freedom. They called it Emancipation Day or Jubilee Day. And, you know, it's been a part of Texas culture for a long time, and now it's part of American culture.
What was it like for them to find out?
It's incredible. The thing I do every single Juneteenth is I read the narratives of people who found out that they were free. There's a man named Felix Haywood who was living in Texas. He was interviewed in the 1930s. And he says that people started moving immediately. And then he says something like they started looking for freedom like it was a city or a place. And it's just so beautiful to read about that moment for people. And of course, it wasn't all perfect. There were a lot of still very difficult things that were happening, but that moment when people found out that they were free it can't be overstated how exciting that was.
Now it changes everything.
Yep.
And you just wonder, and I try to put myself in that situation, what would you do first?
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, I think first they celebrated.
Yeah.
But then one thing that I think is less known about the years following Juneteenth is that enslaved people tried to find their family members from whom they'd been separated. So there's this thing called a Lost Friends ad. So newspapers across the country ran these ads where people who were formerly enslaved were searching for the people from whom they'd been separated. And there are actually some from Fredericksburg. You'll see them. There's like an amazing database that has them, but it'll be people who are like, I'm searching for my mother. She was sold in Fredericksburg 10 years ago. I don't know where she is now, but maybe she'll see this ad and she'll contact me. I'm in Georgia. And they're so devastating, but they're also so beautiful and so powerful.
Wow. We don't think of those kinds of things.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Wow. And when word got to Galveston, I mean, it was late. Well, I mean, they'd actually been free for a while.
Yes. I mean, the Emancipation Proclamation was issued in 1863. This is 1865.
Yeah.
So it's over 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, but it's even 2 years after the war had already ended. And so there are rumors that, you know, enslavers were purposefully trying to keep the news from enslaved people. And I also think it's important to note, enslaved people probably knew. There was a very robust network of enslaved people talking to each other and sharing news. So Booker T. Washington writes about when emancipation came to Virginia, he was enslaved in Virginia. He said, we knew it was coming, but we were still really excited when it finally got there.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to note, these weren't passive people just waiting. They knew it was coming.
Boy, just the whole mindset to go from slave to free, it really is an Independence Day.
It is. And, you know, the narratives from that time people are overjoyed. But there's a lot of scary things happening, too. Enslavers who refuse to let people go. There's some violence. But I think, you know, as a symbolic moment for us, it's really important. And for a moment that could have been wholly transformative. It's really important to them, and they're the ones that I think of on Juneteenth.
Yeah, yeah. And I would think now, because it's only been a few years since it's become a national holiday, that this will become more refined as we go along, and there will be they'll get to the point where there will be celebrations that you can always depend on. That's the area Juneteenth celebration.
Yes, and I also think it's fun because even back in the late 19th century, people are celebrating Juneteenth in lots of different ways. There's baseball games, there's barbecues, there's poetry readings, there's Miss Juneteenth pageants. So I kind of like that every city, every state has their own version of a celebration.
Yeah.
They're doing the different things that are exciting for them. You know, in Fredericksburg on Saturday, there was a big celebration at the Frednad Stadium. And then tonight I'm doing a talk. So, you know, you can choose how you want to celebrate too.
This looks really interesting. It's kind of what it looks like, a panel discussion.
Yes. So I gave a talk at the Fredericksburg Food Co-op in February for Black History Month, and it was just me. So when I was talking to the organizers over there for Juneteenth, I said, why don't we have a kind of conversation with some community members so it's not just me talking by myself. So I am very honored and excited because I get to talk alongside Mr. Sonny Holmes, who is a neighborhood historian. He lives in Mayfield. He's lived in Fredericksburg for 76 years. And he'll be opening up the talk. And then we'll have my good friend, Alexa McNeil, who is, she works at the museum with me, and she is also from the Mayfield neighborhood, and they're both such valuable resources for African-American community history. And then I'll finish it up with some talk about the kind of wider celebration of Juneteenth.
That is from 6 to 7 tonight at the food co-op, and especially on this day, and just the three of you have all such different stories to be able to share.
Yes, I'm very proud of this kind of group of people because I think Mr. Holmes has so much knowledge about the local Fredericksburg community. Alexa will be talking more about Virginia celebrations of Emancipation Day, and then I'll come in and talk about the kind of national story of Juneteenth. And so people will be able to get kind of a local and then a state and then a national story all surrounding the kind of story of Juneteenth.
It's really interesting to see and just even to think about how Juneteenth and this whole story is going to be developing over the next few years, because like we said earlier, it really is all coming together, and the stories, and you're really good at bringing out stories and making this more than just this happened. This all affected people.
Yes, I call myself a story forward curator instead of an object forward curator, because I'm obsessed with stories. I'm obsessed with individual stories. I think the best way to get people to care about history is to tell them about a person who lived in the past and explain how the kind of larger trends in history affected their life. And so that's how I do all of my work. But specifically around Juneteenth, that's how I talk about it.
Well, and to talk about it in the sense when you talked about the Lost Friends ad, something like that, and when you can talk about how someone, just the thought of, looking for a family member, and maybe they found them and maybe they didn't, and in all of that, and how heartbreaking that is, and just how personal all of this is.
It's so personal, and I think the Lost Friends ads are really fascinating to me because, if you got separated from a family member today, you could Google them. You could try to find them.
Right.
But back then, there's no Google, there's no internet, there's no planes. And so, there's those barriers that make it hard to find somebody. But then there's the added barriers that are legacies of enslavement, which is a lot of people can't read or write. They don't even know what the name of their family member might be, because enslavers would change people's names at whims. They have no idea where they are because, again, enslavers would move people around whenever they felt like it. So there's these added barriers to find your family members that I think if we really think about it now in 2023 are even more devastating.
Oh, it is. You just think that this, in some ways there's just no way to find out. Or if someone passes away and no one knows who to contact, or like you said, even knows a name or who they really are.
Yes. And I mean, we've heard some stories of people who are able to find each other, and they're using that, like I said earlier, that robust network of people talking and chatting with each other and sharing information that way. But it is really, it's hard to imagine a lot of people were able to find the people that they were looking for.
And that's just, that's there on so many levels, just how hideous slavery was. Mm-hmm. And that's one of them.
Yes. I mean, I think it's really important to think about Juneteenth as this moment where people were finally free. But then you also have to think about, okay, but what didn't change with Juneteenth? What are people still grappling with? And that's one of them. There's also the issue, enslaved people have no money. They have no clothing. They have no possessions. They have no land. And so how do you build a life when you literally have nothing? And up until that point, you'd been treated as an object yourself. And so, you know, people were able to build lives, but some people really struggled. And so Juneteenth is also an opportunity to think about, okay, what happened in those years right after enslavement ended? And how do you build a life?
You should think about it. If somebody's in a Fredericksburg or in a city, you might have a few more things at your disposal as opposed to being in some rural county or some rural area. And where do you go?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there's stories of people who are in cities where they were able to save a tiny bit of money when they were enslaved. And so they're able to start, you know, moving around a little bit easier than somebody who's on a rural plantation in Virginia or in Louisiana. And so that's where, you know, the system of sharecropping comes in. But that's a long other story.
Right. Yeah, that's a whole nother show. That's a whole nother show for us. Dr. Gayla Sims here this morning with the Fredericksburg Area Museum.